like to read something that's not on the notes there, but this is from the text called Universal Sufism, The Path of Breath, Prayer, and Zikr. I'm always reading from Hazar and Icon because I feel that that's our root, and that's, if I can be transparent and offer this vibration, that would be my greatest prayer. But I wanted to share this with you because this highlights the purpose of this last practice that we're going to do, which is the triangle breath, and to hear Murshid's words on this is on mysticism, and it's from the Gitas, which are unpublished papers but made available at certain levels of study. And it is on mysticism, and it's on the effect of Jalal, which might be considered that aspect of breath and our being that is dynamic and powerful. And Jamal is that aspect which is reflective and gentle. And Kamal, which is this aspect of a perfect balance or stillness. And because this breath incorporates all of those aspects, I wanted to highlight this with this reading, and it's very short. Murshid says, "The whole creation has been formed by the law of rhythm, and rhythm is the cause of all variety we see in nature. The sun, the moon, the stars, woman, man, and all other aspects of nature differ owing to the law of rhythm. The seer understands all things and their past, present, and future by the rhythm of his breath. There really isn't such a thing as a cult of powers. If people tell you they have those powers, they're liars. But there is such a thing as being sensitive to rhythm and being able to travel on the current of that rhythm to experience another person's rhythm. Don't be fooled by charlatans that make great claims. There are two particular forces in the rhythm, which in music are called strong and weak accents. Suppose we push the pendulum of a clock with the finger. The first swing it will make will be strong. The next turn it will make will be the reaction to the first force, which naturally will be milder in force. So it is with the breath. The breath flows through the right nostril is Jalal. The breath that flows through the right nostril is Jalal, which represents strength. The breath that flows through the left nostril is Jamal, which is milder. Breath being the very life and its influences being not only on our mind, but even on our life's affairs. Breath being the very life and its influence being not only on our mind, but even on our life's affairs. The Jalal and Jamal counts greatly with our life's affairs. And when the rhythm is broken, meaning upset, the Jalal and Jamal come into conflict with each other. That is called Kamal. During this time, the strength with which the Jalal and Jamal hold our affairs is exhausted, and it brings failure and destruction. sometimes you will notice, if you will notice, that when things become very still, you know, it's like a tornado, things become very still before that great force comes. And if you're noticing, sometimes, I notice it a lot when I'm, especially in public, when it's very calmolic outside, I'm very careful about driving. Accidents happen then, because when that stillness happens, it is like a death. And the only way for things to be enlivened again is for a shift to come. So, for example, you may hear a lot of, if you're in a restaurant, you'll hear a lot of a breaking of dishes or something. And then all of a sudden you'll notice the wind will change and things will get more active. But things could be very quiet and still beforehand, and there's always something that shifts it. These are Sufic principles also having to do with the Uruj and the Nazul, the rise and the fall. Kamal is always at the top and the bottom of that. We understand that through our practice of breath, those of us that are Buddhists that focus on that middle point in between. That's the Kamalic point. That's that point where the consciousness is suspended. That's the point that we're always practicing towards at death. Can we become conscious in that vacuum to become masters of our next fate? You understand what I'm saying? There are some parallels in these different traditions. Different traditions explain it in different ways. But these cycles are very important to understand even throughout the day within ourselves. You know, the term used to be biorhythms. You know, what's your biorhythm? You know, what's the time when you have the tendency to be most active or most passive or wanting to be still? You know, these are principles that we hear about. During this time, the strength with which the Jalal and the Jamal hold our affairs is exhausted, and it brings failure and destruction. Therefore, the Sufi breaks himself to God, who does not receive them who are unbroken. Don't misunderstand that term. This isn't self-destructive.
Can you read that?
Therefore, the Sufi breaks himself to God, who does not receive them who are unbroken. It gets back to that stiffness and pretension and this idea that we think we know who we are. It's like a phrase in the Bible, be ye as little children, or about unlearning. That's what this means. Uniting with God, the unlimited, means breaking the self that is limited. It's interesting, no matter what you read, it all is relating to each other. Didn't even have this planned, and yet this is so focused on the teaching today. I mean, it's clear that Murshid had a message. It's about training the self, and forgetting that self, so that we could become who we really are. Can you tolerate a little more reading on this subject? If you can't, say no, it's okay. Who can, raise your hand. Did you just go along with everyone, Mubarak, or you really can?
I can.
Okay, good.
Another hour.
Yeah, we're not going another hour. But this is continuing on this subject, mysticism and Jalal and Jamal. The Jalal aspect shows the strength and power of nature. The Jalal aspect shows the strength and power of nature. We find Jalal power flowing through the right nostril as breath, working through the right hand, giving an inclination to move first, through the right foot, giving an inclination to step first. In the senses, that which shows is Jalal. That which sees is Jamal. Okay, that shows, that's active, is Jalal. That which sees or receives is Jamal. Now, one could say that We understand this from the point of view of when we go to a performance. The actors have to be very jamal. They're active, they're getting our attention, and we are jamal. We're receiving that. Those impressions through color, through motion, through words. But it is also true that when we're sitting with, you know, for example, when I go to my spiritual advisors, I find myself wanting to ask questions more than tell them things about myself, because that allows them to be active and me to be reflective so that I can absorb their atmosphere. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they always say, well, not they, but in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, for example, which is a bit like the Sufi tradition, it is the nature of one's own inquiry that brings forth the teachings. It is a path of inquiry. So it's good to ask questions and not feel that one knows everything. So again, that which is Jamal, okay, that which is Jalal, it shows itself, and that which is Jamal, it sees. That which speaks is Jalal, that which hears is Jamal. The same thing we find in our thought. The thought which rises of itself in the mind is Jalal. The thought which is caused by some other source is Jamal.
Say that last part again, please.
Okay. The thought that rises of itself in the mind is Jalal. The thought which is caused by some other source is a Jamal thought. So is the thought, our thinking, a reaction to something else? Or does it arise within ourselves? This is so important. If we don't understand where these things are coming from, we don't know who has control of our own mind. It can just be one reaction after another. Does that make sense? It's very subtle, but it's so important to understand this.
So subtle.
But it's like, we don't know. I mean, all of a sudden we're overcome with something, and it could be totally from something that's coming at us, and we're receptive to that. In one way, it's good to be receptive, but in another way, one has to know how to be active. Oh, in other words, one needs to know how to absorb things, but one must also know how to reflect things. And that's also where this concentration practice comes, because and I wanted to read from this, but now I know I've read too much, but in this book, The Message in Our Time, which is a new book, Mersha Tadayat talks about constructive thought and deconstructive thought. And he talks about how we can give an impression to the mind, and that could be, of course, saying a prayer over and over again. But how do we erase something from the mind? Those impressions that are there, those hurts, those wounds, we have to learn how to erase them. This is also part of it. And we also do that as part of the concentration practice, where we erase the object of concentration. But if one can see, if one can observe one's mind and see that this is an ongoing impression, then one can look at that impression and through concentration erase it. I hear people say that there are sometimes catalytic points in their lives that have become hurtful, and somehow from that moment onward they've lived their lives from that moment, that impression. that isn't true. That isn't, has nothing to do with reality. But if they can't get rid of that impression, then how can they ever be in this moment, in this time, in this place? Yeah? Everything's like looking through that lens, and it's distorted, or it's sometimes cracked, and the image is not coming through clearly. Very interesting. Very, but this is part, this is what this path really is. It's not a social club. You know, we join it like a, I don't know what are those clubs, 4-H or something. I mean, you know, it's like really an inner school. It's an esoteric school for training if you want to be part of that. It really is. It's extraordinary. So Murshid goes on to say, every person has either inherently in them, every person has either a Jalal temperament or a Jamal temperament. A person with a temperament that is Jalal, a person with temper, excuse me, is Jalal. So do you have a temper? You don't have to answer, but you ask yourself, do I have a temper? Okay, some people do, but they control it. And some people express it. Okay. With courage is Jalal. Are you courageous? With strength is Jalal. Okay, so these are your qualities? Or a person with kindness, tolerance, forgiveness, meekness, mildness, modesty, and humility are of the Jamal temperament. It's different. It's not saying one's good or one's bad, or you should try to change that, but recognizing that is a very good thing. Then, through the day and night, man changes his condition from Jalal to Jamal and from Jamal to Jalal, either owing to the influence of his breath or controlled by the breath of another. Here we go again. Are we being controlled by the breath of another? Do you all feel more at ease now that you've given yourself a little more space there?
A little bit.
It's interesting, huh? You all have very different vibrations.
He's mellowing me out with the breathing.
You're more Jalal, I think. And I think Karima Gita's more Jamal. You know? It's just the way it is. And so you were in the middle. You were Kamal. Okay. So you can see it can influence you, and sometimes you just need a little space, because you can be influenced by those vibrations. And you maybe felt that unconsciously on each side. Yeah. Okay. There's a practical side to it. You know, there's a real practical side. And one can say, well, maybe I'm not really so uncomfortable, but I need a little space. You know, I'm feeling something from another person. Is that vibration? This is where this is important. Is this coming from within, or is this coming from without? Then through the day and night, man changes his condition from Jalal to Jamal, and from Jamal to Jalal, either owing to the influence of breath, or controlled by the breath of another, or a situation makes him Jalal or Jamal, or his own thought, right? His speech, his action. You know, you can just sit there and think about something, and, you know, like if you're thinking of a beautiful place in nature that makes you feel so good, all of a sudden you may become more Jamal. Yeah, Jamal. But if you're thinking about maybe an argument you had with someone, then you can get all agitated. You can get quite aggressive, and you can become Jalal just by thinking. And you'll notice then your breath has shifted. So he's telling us, even by controlling that breath, we can... You know, I remember Murshid Avira saying to me, never go into the room of someone sick when you're in your left nostril only breathing. It's the receptive mode. And she said it does no one any good to take that on. You always, if you have to stand outside the door, you bring your breath into your Jamal side, your Jalal side, your active side. You radiate wellness and life to people. You don't absorb their illness. You understand? It's a practical part of it. One practical aspect. So we can control that. In war, the offensive is Jalal, the defensive is Jamal. In trade, the purchaser is Jalal, the seller is Jamal. On the stage, the performer is Jalal, the audience is Jamal. Jalal has the tendency to be active, and sometimes it acts beyond control. Therefore, the capacity of Jalal is greater. Therefore, in the capacity of Jalal, a greater control is needed than in Jamal, for everything that runs quickly is in danger of falling. Balance and rhythm. Get faster, faster. Among the Sufis, there are two kinds of adepts, the Jalali and the Jamali, and each has its own line of progress and action. They are not called so for their temperament, but for their method of progress and action. The Jalali among them, with their great psychic power, can prophesize, cast out devils, and heal, and control the world and heavens according to their development. They are mostly among dervishes, fakirs, and sometimes they're called Rain, where they are under a guise which deludes the pious, keeping them from going near them. Protect themselves. Jamali are the ones who are with God throughout day and night, who love and repent and bless and serve and glorify the name of their Lord and guide their followers through all difficulties in the spiritual path and draw people to God from the struggles of life. Their way is the path of the saint. Now, of course, if I read a little further, you would know that ultimately, you want to blend both those paths, but we'll save that for another time. So that when you have to go forward, you know when to go forward. When you have to retreat, you have to know when to retreat. So again, this triangle breath has everything to do with this practice, and there are two forms of it. And one is a form where the triangle, we're visualizing it, and the triangle's pointing downward. Okay, so it's an inverted triangle. Or an inverted pyramid. And we will begin with that configuration of the triangle. Okay. And here we are, in this aspect, we are looking at into ourselves and we're asking ourselves, is there something in this moment, at this time, that we wish to concentrate on that can help that we wish to accomplish, that would need an act of our will, where we need to use willpower. So it may be something small and inward, you know, about one's self-image or a vow that one wants to make about something in one's life. This is something good to concentrate on. And each person will have their own object to work with. Now, this breath is also done in a rhythmic pattern. And it is done, I think I'll just count for us, if that's okay. And it's also a very intense practice, so that doesn't require a long breath. It can be done in the beat of 3, 4, or 5. Okay, so it's not long breaths and long holding. So we'll use just the count of 3. It's short, but again, the practice is a rather intense one, and you will find that at the end we will come to some results. So please concentrate on a triangle with it is pointing downward. And you can visualize that triangle either in an outline form of light, or you could visualize it as a solid form of light. And you may want to visualize it at the forehead area. And when we breathe in, you're going to trace that triangle with your breath and with your mind. You may even find that it's useful with eyes closed, as if you're tracing it with your eyes. Okay. So for this first aspect, where we're developing willpower towards some object or goal that could be something large or something small, but we are going to start by breathing in through the left nostril, holding as we trace the base, which is of course inverted, of the triangle, and then we breathe out the right. This is then ultimately ending on the jalal, the active breath. Okay. So we're going to start with that. And let's first, and you can hold your nostrils, so we're going to hold and breathe in through the left. Then we're going to hold our breath to the count of three, and we're going to breathe out the right nostril to the count of three. We're going to repeat that three times. And I'll guide you through it. So concentrate on the triangle inverted with the point down. And let's just breathe out, two, three, in the left. Hold. Out the right, in the left, hold, out the right, in the left, hold, out the right. Just observe the body. Observe the mind. Observe the feeling heart. And now contemplate something of which you're seeking inspiration, something where you could benefit by having deep insight beyond thinking, beyond reasoning. Perhaps one's trying to make a decision of some kind, or seeking a new path or a new direction, and one is seeking inspiration. Again, with the triangle inverted, pointing down, we now reverse the direction of the breath. So, let's breathe out, two, three, and we're breathing in the right. Hold, out the left, in right, hold, out right, left, in right, hold, out left, in right, hold, out left. Now here again, observe body, mind, feeling heart. The next aspect of the breath is that we reverse the triangle, and now the base of the triangle is at the bottom and the point is upward. We visualize this form, and this practice with the direction of the triangle upward, it promotes an awakening from within. An awakening from within. So when the point is downward, it's bringing the forces of the heavens downward into some manifestation in the world through our willpower or bringing inspiration into manifestation. But when the point goes upward, it's raising us from the denseness of the earth. So it promotes an awakening from within. So we're going to start by breathing in the left nostril, out the right, and we hold on the exhalation. And in the left nostril, out the right, hold after the exhalation. And here this is used to develop willpower over some play, some lila, some mara of the ego, something, and perhaps because the subject is self-consciousness, we can make the intention to overcome some aspect that is self-conscious. Or one could say limited thought patterns about oneself. That may be another way of saying self-consciousness. And so we'll start by breathing out, 2, 3, in the left, out right, hold, in left, out right, hold, in left, out right, hold. And now relax and again observe, keeping the image of the triangle pointed upward. Aspect is to reverse this breath, where we'll breathe in through the right, out through the left, and we'll hold after the exhalation. And this is to awaken us from within, and perhaps to take some aspect of our character or our soul that we can awaken towards a higher purpose. And we may not even know what that is, but being receptive to that, open to that awakening, just remain open during the breath. or there may be something that you wish to enliven. I would like to be more peaceful. I would like to be more balanced. I would like to have a sense of purpose. I would like to have provide a sense of direction for myself and others. I'd like to, whatever that is, it can arise in this moment and in this breath. And it's setting the intention to set things in motion. It's like activating this inner call, this inner yearning, so that it can set up a vibration to come from the core of our being and radiate outward. Start with an out-breath. In right. Out left. Hold. In right, out left, hold. In right, out left, hold. And release. So the first breath again, the first series with the triangle pointing downwards, this too really helped develop willpower and control. And when the triangle reverses and points upward, this develops inspiration and awakening from within. And this may reveal to you somewhat the significance of the Sri Yantra that we see, where there are intersecting triangles pointing in these opposite directions, moving in a concentric way. It's sort of the ultimate yantra, almost like Kala Chakra is the ultimate or the highest tantric yoga mandala. And this practice blends both of those, it intersects them.
So is the point where they meet sort of the Kamal?
One could maybe consider that. I was visualizing that actually on my body, and I think that for me it comes, if I visualize, it's very interesting. If you see yourself sitting cross-legged, you can see both points of that triangle, can't you? You know, if I'm sitting cross-legged like this, mm-hmm. here's the one triangle coming down, and here's the other triangle coming up, and they could meet in the area of the heart. The holding is the Kamal. Mm-hmm. The holding is the Kamal in the breath. So in other words, then it really wouldn't be the that point of intersection, because the Kamal is on these top points. From stillness comes action. From mm-hmm. stillness comes action.
So it's on the base.
Mm-hmm.
When you were saying that, I was almost seeing it more like this.
Right.
You just, where that base is in there. Is that what you were saying?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, mine was the opposite. It was where they intersected and they became a diamond was here. So it's like my shoulders is one line, and my hands down in this position becomes the triangle. And when I'm sitting, the base becomes the other triangle coming up. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
I was seeing it the other way, just from kind of the my head and the shoulders. So that's why I wanted to be sure I understood what you were saying.
Yeah. I think if you can think of it as all the points are going towards your center.
I was thinking with the Shri Yantra, that part of it, too, in some ways, with the intersection of those almost becomes like the center also,
mm-hmm.
the center space in
right.
some ways.
That's right. Yeah. And Mershab talks about that center space as the Zot. Zot. He talks about that at the dot in the center of the circle. He gave that as a concentration. And he talks about in the Zot, one could liken it to the scientific principle of the Big Bang. In that point, all potential exists. Everything comes from that point. Okay, and then also in that Shri Yantra, it's like that, it's the Zot. All potentiality exists and moves from that point, or like the Big Bang. Singing of the Hasradhanai Khan zikr, that gentle zikr, the more Jamal aspect of zikr.
Oh.
that the readings that are have been shared, for the most part, there'll be links online if you're interested in purchasing those. We have some here. We do rely on donations. There's no charge for the class. So those that are at afar, consider making a contribution. I know those that are here are always so generous in our little basket that we have on our staff table. So we're offering you through the internet ways delicious food and drink. And we also hope that if there is any benefit here to the practice, may that merit go out in ever-widening waves to benefit all beings of the past, present, and future. And we want to thank all those masters, saints, and prophets who held this concentration with us. And we offer you our reverence, our homage, and our gratitude. Those that are here, if you give us a few minutes, we have some things to, some small snacks for your nourishment. And remember what Murshid said about holding a little bit of silence. So come out of that gently and quietly as we begin to move about and interact with each other. Rise and say the prayer for two. Oh, that who are the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth. Open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit. And unite us all in thy perfect being.